News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. For today's Monday edition of the show, my name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is, of course, the show where we talk with individuals who are in the know about things happening in Michigan's great Southwest or around our fair state of Michigan. We have longer conversations with the folks who are making things happen in our community, and we've got plenty of guests lined up for today's Monday edition of the show. It's also the day before Halloween. Perfect weather for a Halloween out there. Well, assuming it doesn't rain too hard. Very gloomy outside. I hope you had a great weekend preparing for the best holiday of the year. I went and saw a horror film, sort of a horror comedy movie called Happy Death Day. That was actually better than you would expect. That wasn't bad. It was sort of Groundhog Day meets Scream. So I had a decent, relaxing weekend. And coming up on today's show, as we barrel into a Tuesday, which is Halloween, we'll be checking in with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. We'll chat with the undersheriff about trick-or-treating safety. When you've got your kids out and about running around tomorrow, whether you're with them or not with them, we've got some safety tips that the Sheriff's Department would like to remind parents about. Ways to be safe. You want to keep it safe on Halloween. We'll hear about that in the next segment. We'll also check in with State Representative Kim Lasada to learn about a constitutional amendment that's been proposed here in Michigan. It would require the state legislature to have a balanced budget in place by July 1st each year. Otherwise, lawmakers will not get paid. We'll hear from Lasada about that. State Representative Kim Lasada is one of the backers of this plan. We'll also check in with Fenville Schools to find out about how they became a heart-safe school district. Those are school districts that take steps to ensure that they are prepared for the event of a cardiac arrest on their premises. Basically, they have to get an AED and then train staff on how to use them. This is particularly important to Fenville Schools, so we'll hear from the superintendent. And then finally, we'll chat with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They're talking about HIV and HIV awareness. They want to make sure that people keep this top of mind. So we'll hear about that coming up on today's show. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. Monday edition of the show. I hope you have good Halloween plans for tomorrow. I know what I'll be doing for Halloween tomorrow. I do the same thing every Halloween, and I have done this ever since I was about 11 years old. I watch Night of the Living Dead every Halloween, so that's my plan for tomorrow. But there's something else that a lot of young people will be doing, and that's trick-or-treating. And so the Berrien County Sheriff's Department wants to make sure that kids are safe when they're out and about trick-or-treating. They want to make sure drivers behave themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So I caught up with Berrien County Undersheriff Chuck Height to discuss Halloween safety, trick-or-treating safety. And he gave us some tips, some reminders for parents. So let's hear that conversation now. All right, Undersheriff, so there will be lots of kids running around tomorrow night as they go trick-or-treating in just about every community around Michigan's great Southwest. So just to start off, if you want to remind parents of some things that they should talk to their kids about ahead of trick-or-treating, what would some of those things be?
A couple of main points would be to always make sure a responsible adult should accompany any young children, you know, in the neighborhoods for trick-or-treating. If there are older children that are going out, make sure you plan and review a route that's acceptable and make sure there's agreed upon time for the older children to be home. One of the main things is to teach the children to never enter a stranger's home or vehicle when trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. The other one, obviously, is not to eat any of the treats until returned home and checked, you know, by an adult. The other would be is if the trick-or-treating time is after dark, to make sure they've got some reflective either tape or a glow stick or something reflective available if they're out after dark. But we, you know, a lot of the communities are doing them during the daytime when it's safer, and just to follow those tips.
Right. I know there are some communities that have a trick-or-treating earlier in the day. Niles has some, looks like, daytime trick-or-treating going on. And if you had to talk to the kids and tell them a few things to make sure they're safe running around, what would you say to them?
Well, just, I mean, to have fun, but it's good to go. You know, obviously, like I said, the younger ones should always be with an adult. Other ones, make sure you're not alone. But one of the biggest things is just make sure you're in areas you're familiar with. And then also, you know, don't ever enter a house or someone's vehicle, you know, that you don't know.
All right. And of course, when trick-or-treating is going on, it's important for drivers to be extra careful as well.
Yes. Just be mindful that obviously there will be, you know, a lot, you know, more children and adults out, you know, walking streets, especially in areas where they've got scheduled trick-or-treating, and just, you know, slow down, be mindful. The other thing we've found more recently is when you are walking, you know, put your electronic devices down and keep your head up, because a lot of people try and walk and use their electronic devices at the same time, which can be, you know, very dangerous at those times.
Right, and I know many communities have offer these non-traditional sort of trick-or-treating events, like trunk-or-treat things that are intended to be a little bit safer than running around the neighborhood.
There are some community events where they've got, you know, the parades and then scheduled times in different communities, but I would just check local listings for the communities that have that, and it's, you know, make sure that there's a responsible adult with them during that time.
We're talking to Berrien County Undersheriff Chuck Hyde about trick-or-treating safety. Undersheriff, if you had to identify the biggest danger for trick-or-treating night, what would it be?
Yeah, the biggest thing is an awareness and making sure that you're, you know, in familiar areas, but then also, especially if there's any trick-or-treating done either near, you know, dusk or after dark, to make sure something reflective, you know, is on the child, or like the glow sticks they have, just to make sure that you're visible in areas and try to stay to well-lit areas as well.
Okay, Undersheriff, anything else you'd like to say to the kids ahead of all the fun on Halloween night?
Just that, you know, children obviously enjoy and have a safe trick-or-treating and Halloween, and just follow those safety tips.
Okay, that was Berrien County Undersheriff Chuck Hite chatting with us a bit about trick-or-treating safety. You know, parents should talk to their kids ahead of the big evening tomorrow. And, of course, drivers need to be extra careful. I would avoid driving in neighborhoods, if that's at all possible, tomorrow night from about 5:30 until around 7:30 or 8 p.m. That's when most of the trick-or-treating is taking place tomorrow. If you go to moodyonthemarket.com, our own Pat Moody has compiled a big comprehensive list of all the trick-or-treating times. Some places have already done it. For example, New Buffalo Township and the city of New Buffalo actually held trick-or-treating last night. Most places are still doing it tomorrow night. In St. Joseph Township, it's tomorrow from 6 to 7:30. In the city of St. Joe, it's downtown from 4:30 tomorrow to 6 p.m., so you can go downtown 4:30 to 6. And then citywide, it'll be from 6 to 7:30 tomorrow night. Royalton, tomorrow 6 to 7:30. Orinoco, same thing, 6 to 7:30. Looking up at Benton Harbor, they'll have special Arts District trick-or-treating from 4:30 to 6 p.m. tomorrow. And then the citywide event will take place from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And, of course, Benton Township is also tomorrow, 6 to 7:30. Go to moodyonthemarket.com or WSJM.com and look to the right of the page. You'll find a link to this big list of all these trick-or-treating times. There's also some alternatives to traditional trick-or-treating that have been offered around Michigan's Great Southwest. Tomorrow, for example, the Baroda Township Fire Department will host an open house from 6 to 7:30 at the fire station on First Street right there in Baroda. They'll have drinks, treats for the kids, and parents can come, of course, and have some fun, and everyone can learn some safety information at the Baroda Township Fire Department. So, yes, there's that comprehensive list at moodyonthemarket.com or WSJM.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, I wanted to give you an update on auto insurance reform. Yes, this continues. The Speaker of the Michigan House is responding to critics following last week's committee passage of auto insurance reform legislation. Last week, a State House committee approved a plan that would allow people to take sort of lower caps on their catastrophic coverage. We've talked about this many times. There have been a few complaints, you know, mainly from Democrats, on this plan that passed the House committee last week. Here's a House Speaker Tom Lundard responding to that.
Their biggest criticism about this bill has been that it does not offer rate relief for all three tiers. We have now ensured under this bill that every person in the state of Michigan, regardless what type of plan they choose, they will see some type of rate relief.
Critics are also saying this proposal passed last week. It goes too far in slashing coverage that's guaranteed for catastrophically injured drivers. And what it does is you can either keep your unlimited coverage or you can get a $500,000 limit or a $250,000 limit. And presumably your savings would be, you know, higher the lower you go on that limit. But that leaves people open to, major problems if they are seriously injured. State House Speaker Tom Leonard responded to that.
This is an issue that has continued to be a moving target. I believe there are certain individuals that want to maintain the status quo. They like this rig system for some reason. So they're going to continue to move that goalpost. We just need to ensure that we move it just far enough so that we can get the 55 votes that we need.
So that's a State House Speaker Tom Leonard. We'll see if this plan makes it through the State House. Lansing area Republican there, along with Democratic Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan. They both back this package. It would end the state's mandate requiring no-fault auto insurance policies, giving drivers an option of three coverage plans, which would be unlimited $500,000 or $250,000. $1,000. Knowing me, I would go for the cheapest option possible, but you know, that would leave a person open to serious problems if they are injured. Also, last week, our own Pat Moody caught up with State Senator John Prose about the very same issue. And Prose told Moody, you know, it's this unlimited coverage that's sort of the reason our expenses are so high.
The House of Representatives has come up with a plan that gets it started and moved out of the House committee yesterday. My understanding is that the House does intend to put it up on the House floor. I expect changes, and certainly there would be changes if it comes over to the Senate with an affirmative vote, because this is a complicated topic.
That's State Senator John Prose of St. Joseph talking with Pat Moody on Friday about this, a day after a House committee approved this reform package. I've talked with John Prose about this a few times. Now, we know that it's less likely this plan will pass the state Senate than the state House. Prose tells us he hears from residents all of the time about auto insurance costs, more than any other issue, he's told me. He predicts the final reform plan will be different from what has so far been discussed because the issue is emotionally loaded and quite complex.
The auto insurance issue has been number one every year that I've talked to people, and it hurts the economy overall because it takes money out of pockets and it increases costs for all of us, and it makes it less competitive for businesses and industries to hire people because they're not locating in Michigan.
Still, State Senator John Prose told our Pat Moody last week, it's very clear something needs to be done to reduce auto insurance costs in Michigan. Part of the problem is there are people who can't afford insurance at all, and so they drive around without insurance. And if they get into a crash, it's everyone else who has to pay for that. And so many say it's obvious that our auto insurance system in Michigan is deeply flawed if people can't even afford coverage. This is a major problem that our state lawmakers are working to address, hopefully by the end of the year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will chat with State Representative Kim Lasada about a budget plan that's been introduced in the legislature. We'll also hear from the superintendent of Fenville Schools about how they became a heart-safe district. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host today. Glad to be here. My name is Andrew Green. On the last segment, we talked about auto insurance reform again, and we also talked about trick-or-treating safety tomorrow. Once again, I would suggest that you go to moodyonthemarket.com or wsjm.com to find a comprehensive list of all the trick-or-treating times and different places you can go. You know, if you plan correctly, you could give your kids two opportunities to trick-or-treat. It can double the amount of candy that they collect if they first, say, go to downtown Benton Harbor, run around the Arts District, and then later on go into the neighborhoods. It's possible to increase your haul tomorrow. Go to WSJM.com or MoodyOnTheMarket.com to find that list of all the times, so you can plan accordingly. Right now, for this segment of the show, I wanted to catch up with State Representative Kim Lasada. She represents us in Lansing. at least if you live in the 79th district. The Bainbridge Township Republican has signed on to a new House resolution that would create a constitutional amendment if this goes all the way through. Eventually, voters would consider this. Anyway, State Rep. Lasada has co-sponsored this plan that would require the state legislature to have a balanced budget approved and sent to the governor by July 1st each year. This is sort of their goal anyway, but this would make it a requirement, and if it doesn't happen, they won't be paid. So our own Michael Arney caught up with State Representative Kim Lasada to talk about this plan. Let's hear that conversation now.
What is it about this House Resolution X that has got your attention and made you decide, I'm going to co-sponsor this?
Well, this is my first year serving in the House of Representatives, but for 5 years now in a row, with Governor Snyder, the budget has been done in a timely manner. So the budget has been done so that schools, whether it's K through 12 or higher education, can plan their year out appropriately instead of waiting to see how much money they're going to get after school's already started. So this is something that we want to see continued. We don't know who the next governor is going to be, but we feel strongly about providing a budget in a timely manner.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been fortunate with the way things have gone under Governor Snyder. And you know, it was just a decade ago that the government shut down in October of 2007.
Right. So we don't want that to happen again. And all those, you know, everyone that relies on money from the state should know, you know, what they're going to be receiving so that they can budget accordingly.
But yeah, this is, getting back to your experience as a teacher, for a number of years, obviously, school districts went into the fall not knowing what they were going to get. And over the past, you know, like you said, 5 to 7 years now, they've known, and that's a big help. How much support do you think this is going to have in both the House and Senate?
I don't know. I'm on appropriations, so to me, it wasn't a difficult decision to make. And we're able to do it, so why not continue it? I hope it has a lot of support. Like I said, I'm just concerned as to who's going to be the next governor, and we want to keep things rolling in the right direction.
Okay, that was State Representative Kim Lasada there of Bainbridge Township talking with WSJM's Michael Arney about this plan, this resolution that's been introduced in the State House. If it goes through, if it goes through both the House and Senate, it could wind up on the ballot in front of voters. Voters would be asked to approve it. It would be a constitutional amendment, and it would require the state legislature to approve a budget each year by July 1st. The reason why they picked July 1st as the deadline is because that's about as late as you can go before having a budget without greatly inconveniencing school districts and local governments that need to plan their own budgets. What they budget sort of depends on what they're going to get from the state. It's better if they know early. And Republicans, since they've controlled the state legislature and the governor's office, they've done a pretty good job of making sure that budget is approved by that deadline each year. But this new plan would require it. And if they fail to meet that requirement, state lawmakers would not be paid until they approve a budget. So Representative Lasada's on board with that. We also talked with State Representative Beth Griffin about it. She's in favor. And we could be seeing that on a ballot sometime soon. Actually, it would be November of 2018. So we'll keep you updated on the status of that. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, I wanted to chat with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They recently announced a new HIV awareness campaign. The name of this campaign is the Undetectable Equals Untransmittable campaign. I caught up with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Erica Queeley to learn more about what this is all about. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Erica, so the state has this new Undetectable Equals Untransmittable HIV awareness campaign. Tell us more about what the message of this campaign is.
Correct. The program is Undetectable Equals Untransmittable. And so what we're trying to do is focus on ways that those who do have HIV can reduce transmission of the virus.
Okay, explain to us a little more what you mean by undetectable equals untransmittable.
Well, the undetectable part, it refers to their viral load. So the viral load is the amount of HIV in a blood sample of a person living with HIV. And oftentimes, the higher the viral load, the greater the likelihood an individual with HIV will transmit HIV. So there's different things that they can do to achieve viral suppression and maintain it, which will give them continue to give them that untransmittable status.
All right, so the state's trying to spread this message, especially to individuals who may have this illness. So what are you doing to promote the message specifically?
Well, we have key partners that we work with throughout the state of Michigan that support programs. There's one in particular, ART, which is an antiretroviral therapy. Mm-hmm. It's something that they take as prescribed from their doctor that helps them with an undetectable viral load in their blood sample. So we're working to make sure people are aware of the different treatments that are available. And we're supporting different community partners throughout Michigan to make sure people have access to these types of programs and adhere to them.
Is the state going to be running special PSAs that people might notice?
We don't have PSAs going, but we do have a program, a website available for anyone who has HIV and would like to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of resources online at michigan.gov/survive-HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of resources online related to the U equals U. So they have their own website as well as information through the CDC.
All right, we're talking with Michigan Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Erica Queeley about the Undetectable Equals Untransmittable campaign. This is specifically directed at people with HIV, correct, Erica?
Correct. And just wanting to make sure that they're aware that there are always resources available to them. It's not necessarily a new campaign for us. We've been, you know, doing a lot to support and raise awareness and provide services for people with HIV. This is just another opportunity for us to really celebrate some new research that has come out that has supported the undetectable equals untransmittable information.
Okay, that was Erica Queeley, spokesperson for the State Health Department, talking with us about this awareness campaign. You can find out more information at michigan.gov/survive-HIV. Michigan.gov/survive-HIV. The actual number of people living with HIV in Michigan is estimated to be about 15,600. And so the state's reaching out to them saying treatments have gotten a lot better since the 80s. It's important that you pursue all options possible. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. One more thing this segment of the show to tell you about. This is taking place in the Detroit area today. Governor Rick Snyder is hosting a cybersecurity summit in the Detroit area today. It's at Cobo Center in Detroit. The governor has invited cybersecurity experts from all over the world there for this North American International Cyber Summit. Sarah Tennant with Cyber Initiatives at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation told Michigan News Network, Michigan does play a bigger role than you might think in cybersecurity.
Because Michigan is such a huge R&D center, cybersecurity is going to touch every industry in Michigan. We really are the leader there. We really work hard to develop innovative solutions and prevent and respond to cyber threats. So we're really just trying to build that ecosystem and that collaboration between government, academia, and industry.
That's Sarah Tennant with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. She told Michigan News Network, in addition to global professionals they've got at this summit today in Cobo Center, there will be some young local cybersecurity experts on hand.
There'll be local high schools attending because they'll be part of the high school challenge. U of B Mercy will be attending. They are bringing some of their Cyber Patriot teams as well that will be involved in the High School Governor's Challenge. And then all the other local academia will be there as well.
Governor Rick Snyder today will deliver the keynote address as part of this international summit going on at Cobo Center. Not Cobo Hall, Cobo Center. And this is part of October National Cybersecurity Month. So the governor trying to promote Michigan as a hub of technological activity, inviting all these hackers to come and talk cybersecurity. That's taking place right now as we speak in Detroit. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will close out today's edition of the show with a discussion about heart-safe schools with the superintendent of Fenville Schools. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. Stick around and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9. WSJM, this is Our Take. Final segment of today's show. Then we can get out of here and start planning for Halloween, which is tomorrow. So far on today's show, we checked in with Berrien County Undersheriff Chuck Height to get a little bit of Halloween safety information. The Sheriff's Department had some tips for parents, drivers, and trick-or-treaters ahead of tomorrow's, trick-or-treating for Halloween. And, of course, if you want to see a comprehensive list of all the trick-or-treating times and locations, et cetera, go to WSJM.com or MoodyOnTheMarket.com. And you can find that that big list of all the trick-or-treating times and locations. Moody's got you covered. Also on today's show, we talked with State Representative Kim Lasada about a proposal in Lansing that would require a balanced budget to be approved by July 1st each and every year. Otherwise, state lawmakers won't get paid. So this plan is essentially requiring state lawmakers to put their money where their mouths are. And Representative Lasada is on board with this. She says it's a good idea. We may see that appearing on our ballots next year. Also today, we talked about HIV, an HIV awareness campaign being run by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They are spreading a message to individuals living with HIV. And right now, to close out today's show, I thought we would check in with Fenville Schools. This is a school district in Allegan County. Recently, the state released its most recent list of heart-safe schools. Each year, they designate various school buildings across the state as heart-safe. These are schools that have taken steps to be able to deal with cardiac arrest situations on their property. And the way they do this, the way they get heart-safe status, is to have an AED on site and have trained their staff in the use of said AED. So there's 125 schools in Michigan currently listed as heart safe. That includes all of the schools in Van Buren County and a Benton Harbor Charter School Academy and Blossomland Learning Center here in Berrien County. Well, up in Allegan County, one school that's led the charge on this is Fenville Schools, and that's partly because they had an incident several years ago in which one of their basketball players died on the court as a result of a heart problem no one knew he had. So anyway, our own Michael Arney checked in with the superintendent of Fenville Schools to learn more about their heart-safe designation and why they do this. So let's hear that conversation now.
All right. The first question I have for you is talk about what it took for all of Fenville schools now to be certified as Michigan heart-safe schools.
Well, as part of the heart-safe school program, the schools are required to have a plan in place. That would be a written plan to be able to respond to medical emergencies. And then you have to go over that each year with staff. So we do that at our opening staff meeting with our focus on the early recognition, early 911 call, and then early CPR and getting that AED in place. And then in each of our buildings and at our elementary, we have two levels. So we have a medical emergency response team. It's 5 to 6 members who have volunteered to be a part of the team that, if called at any time, will drop things and run to the emergency. There will be somebody who will grab the AED along the way, and those are placed in prominent positions so that they can be grabbed. And we do at least, in our school, we do at least 2 drills per year for each of the teams. I think to get the certification, you have to have at least 1. But we've expanded ours so that now we don't just do cardiac emergency response, but we also will try have a description of some of the symptoms, and they may be symptoms of an allergic reaction, which would then require an EpiPen. And we do have those in each building as well. And we just added this year, we added the Narcan so that we have the ability to respond should that need come about. And we've trained people in the use of that.
Well, hopefully that never happens to come about, considering what that's used for.
We certainly hope not, but they've made that available to us. I think they provide it at the high school level, and we've purchased it at the lower level so that we do have it available should there be a need.
Okay. Now, obviously, I think everybody in West Michigan is familiar with what really started this whole thing. That was Wes Leonard's death, after a basketball game for Fenville. If nothing else, you can, you know, take a tragedy and turn it into a positive legacy with this, can you not?
Well, that is what we've tried to do, and that's been the mission of the West Leonard Heart Team, to try to make sure that no one else has to go through the tragedy, and that there can be saves with AEDs in place. And the biggest part there is the recognition and knowing what to do and knowing how to respond. So the Heart Team has worked tirelessly to make sure that every school in the state has an AED. In Fenville, we have them in every building, as well as we have several portable ones. I think we have five that go with our sports teams, and we have one on the bench when both home and away contests, so that should there be a need, we're ready to respond. All of our coaches have been trained in the CPR and AED, as well as all of our administrators and most of our staff. They do require that at least 50% of your coaches and your physical education staff, and then at least 10% of your other staff, have the training to be heart safe. And we're working toward a goal of having everybody on staff trained.
In the years that you've had these AEDs, have they ever had to be used?
We have. They have been applied in a couple situations where, you know, a student has passed out. Now, they've never given a shock because the machine can detect things. However, we have applied the pads in a couple situations when EMS has been called.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're just glad to be able to have the conversation, and we hope that all schools will get on board with the plan and make sure that they're prepared in case an emergency ever does happen.
All right, that was Fenville Public Schools Superintendent Jim Gray-Danis talking with our own Michael Larney about their HeartSafe designation this year. Once again, Fenville named a HeartSafe school, and that's because they have AEDs on the premises of all their buildings, and they have trained staff in how to use them. As mentioned there, this all goes back to when a Fenville High School basketball player, Wes Leonard, died as a result of an unknown heart condition during a game. So Fenville's been sort of at the forefront of this HeartSafe initiative across the state of Michigan. And once again, they've been named a HeartSafe school, along with every school in Van Buren County. That's thanks to an effort of the ISD over there. And Berrien County's lagging a little bit behind on this. We have two schools that are HeartSafe. That's Benton Harbor Charter and Blossomland Learning Center. But this list of HeartSafe schools announced by the state just a few weeks ago, and we appreciate the superintendent of Fenville School's time to talk with us about that program. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. Coming up tomorrow, we'll check in with Conexus and Cornerstone Alliance to hear their thoughts about this income tax proposal for the city of Benton Harbor. It'll be on the ballot very soon. We'll also learn about what's been going on at the St. Joseph Ice Rink, and we'll talk with Michigan State Police about a collection drive they're going to be doing for the Boys and Girls Club coming up soon in Niles. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake @wsjm.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in, and you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Oh yay, oh yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab, and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.